Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Joy and not with grief, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and beginning at verse 1, reads, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And here's our verse. He's the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. As I said on Sunday, let us not forget the scripture teaches that all have sinned, right? All have sinned. This is Romans 3:23. You don't have to turn there. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is all encompassing of all. That is every last one of us. It also says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, that if we say that we have not sinned, we lie and do not practice the truth. So we have to approach what we're reading in Hebrews 1:3 from that perspective, that he made purification of sins and then he sat down. That makes it personal. When it says he made purification of sin, he's talking to you. Is that y'all with me? Not he made purification of your neighbor's sins. Not he made purification of your friend's sin, or that ain't my verse. No, this your verse. He made purification of your mess ups, your mistakes, all the things that we've done wrong. Does that make sense? As a matter of fact, Romans goes on to say, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Right? That's Romans 5:8. While you're yet sinners, Christ died. So without the blood of Jesus, we're dirty. That's the reality. Without the blood of Jesus, we are dirty, unable to approach the Lord. And as I said on Sunday, this is a recap. The blood of Jesus is not just a shield, it's an astringent. It not only, right, it not only protects, it removes. It not only inoculates, but it transforms. We ought to be grateful for the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We ought to be grateful for the blood of the Lamb. And too often, I think we say stuff about the blood, but don't truly understand the blood of Jesus, right? His blood can do or has done, is actually better, what no other blood can ever do. Now, for the original reader of this text, moving on, coming to verse 3 would have been a jolt to their system. The original reader of this text, remember, the temple system is still in place, which means that you still have the high priest going in once a year on the Day of Atonement. This was still happening. Just because you don't read about it in the New Testament doesn't mean it was gone. Let's be clear. There's still a high priest. I know sometimes we separate the Testament so much in our mind as if Jesus lived separate from what the practicing Jews were doing at the time, right? So there's still a sacrificial system in place. Amen. There's still sacrifice. So when they read verse 3 of the text, it's still on the screen, that would have been a jolt to them because they're like, he made purification of sins. How? He's not a bull. He's not a goat. He's not a turtle dove. How does a man purify? Now, I'm sure that they're wrapping their head around it, but it would have been a jolt, not because they did not understand what the blood does, but because they had a very great understanding of what the blood does. They knew well and good that blood was necessary for purification. Please understand, they would have understood that. Any Jewish reader, even a Gentile reader that felt that they were separate would have understood blood is necessary for purification. As a matter of fact, blood is also necessary to cut covenant. Anytime you were making an agreement, there had to be the shedding of blood. If they were going to make covenant between two people, they would have a blood covenant. Y'all walking with me. And so blood not only signified, yes, blood not only signified that there was protection, but blood also signified that there was an agreement made. This is good. So the sacrificial system was normative to them. The priests were still offering sacrifices for sins yearly. Say yearly. Yearly. The priests are still offering sacrifice for sins yearly. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would make his sacrifice for sin. He'd say sorry for everybody. How can you be so sure, Bishop, that this was still in place? Listen to this. We read it, but disconnect it. I got to bring your minds back. When Jesus dies on the cross, the Bible says that the veil of the temple is rent. It's torn. So clearly we got a temple and clearly there's still a veil. So there were still people going beyond the veil when Jesus is on the cross. He rips the veil to now signify you have access. Does this make sense? So for the text to read that he made purifications of sin and sat down, this is a jolt. Why? First of all, because this is a man and we don't understand that. But I got one even better than that. Look at what it says. When he had made purification. Come on, slow down. So sometimes we read too fast and miss stuff. First of all, I told you guys Sunday, when he had made is past tense. But purification is singular. When he had made, past tense, purification, singular act of sins, all inclusive. So wait. High priests go into the temple once a year and they're going to have to do it again. When the Day of Atonement. But Jesus, on the other hand, went in once, only had to bleed one time, but all sins were taken care of perpetually due to one sacrifice. So the original reader is like, this ain't computing right now. Because how in the world, when we're used to bringing a new sacrifice every year, what makes this blood different? What makes this blood different than any other blood? Why in the world don't he have to keep dying? Are we going to have to keep waiting for a new Messiah? Huh? Do we need to know? Now watch this. Jesus' blood is so efficacious that the blood he shed is still as powerful as the day he shed it. Yeah. Amen. So the sin you haven't committed yet is under the blood he already shed. This is good news. But here's what I need us to understand, because sometimes we separate these two things so much that you get to forgetting yourself. Like you ain't done some foolish stuff in your life. Amen. Again, let me remind you, all have sinned. All means all. Sin is a separator. Write that down. Sin is a separator. You can't just live however you want and expect God to be like, no, you can still get close to me. Maybe you didn't have a grandmother like mine, but I didn't get to sit down at the table to eat dirty. No. If I came in, I had been playing outside, and she said, food's ready, come on in. I didn't get to just sit down at the table. No, you had to go bathe. Because watch this, you don't get to sit down and receive what I've prepared until you've cleansed yourself of what you've been through. Lord have mercy. So the Lord has a lot of stuff for us, but this whole minimizing of the standard where we feel like we can live any type of way and do whatever we want, that has messed us up in the church. That's not true, y'all. There's still a standard. There's still a standard, and sin is a separator. I don't care what theology you like or who the favorite preacher is. There's a standard, and sin is a separator. All right, let me prove it to you. Psalm 15, go ahead and turn there. Let's go to the 15th division of Psalm. The 15th division. Psalm 15. It reads, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Now, don't worry. I'm going to get to the one we like to quote after this. He who walks in integrity. And works righteousness. And speaks truth in his heart. Leave this up. Leave it up. Go back to verse 1. Let's do it again. Y'all were still turning in your Bibles to make sure it existed in your Bible. Oh, Lord, who may abide in your tent. Wait a minute. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be given. Which means if you're not abiding, you can't ask what you will. So sometimes maybe the reason that your prayers ain't getting what you, okay. It's not because the prayer don't work. It's because you're in the wrong place asking. Does that make sense? It's a prerequisite. Who may abide? Who may dwell? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But I can't dwell and abide unless verse 2 goes into effect. He who walks in integrity and works righteousness. Works right. Like you righteousness should be just what you do. Huh? Right? Who works righteousness? Think about that for a minute. I'll give it to you another way. If I was to ask those of you who have 9-to-5s who you work for, you would give me your place of employment. Okay, but the believer is supposed to work righteousness. That's your employer. That's who you. It's what you work for. You got to walk in integrity and work righteousness. And speak truth, not even out your mouth. I want to see if there's truth in your heart, in your innermost being. Because watch this. You can say one thing and be another. You can say one thing and be another. And the requirement is how I walk, how I work, and how I speak all within me, within my heart. Now let's go to verse 3. He does not slander with his tongue. Now we just now done got to what comes out your mouth. He doesn't slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. Just leave it up. Some of us are, wait a minute. This is required to abide. This is required to dwell. And some of us are already disqualified. Don't slander with his tongue. I didn't say nothing to them, but you said something about them to somebody else. You sowed discord among the brethren, and for many of us, we did it not even knowing the facts. Be careful what you speak. Oh, yes. Slander with your tongue. And let me take it even a step further. I hear you, God. Let's take it a step further. When we talk about slandering with the tongue, right? We talk about slandering with the tongue. Be careful not to confine the revelation of slander to what you say. It's just like this. Watch, I'm about to mess somebody up. Death and life are in the power or the hand of the tongue. Death and life. Now, we always look at that and we only confine that to what we say. That's how we confine that text. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death, and you confine it to what you say. So you watch what you say, but you don't watch what you eat. If death and life are in the hand of my tongue, but I continue to eat things that are killing me, hello? Because death and life are in the hand of my tongue. But see, watch this. But it tastes good. That means I have an inordinate affection in my mouth. You have an inordinate affection for sweets in your mouth. It's killing you because death is in your mouth. Huh? Oh, I'm not done. So you can slander with the same mouth that has an inordinate affection. Y'all not in this room. And that's all before you start doing evil to your neighbor. And your neighbor is not necessarily the one who lives next to you. Neither is it the one you like. Oh, come on now. Nor takes up reproach against his friends. Verse 4, y'all done got quiet in here. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised. Stop it right there. I can't even dwell. So you mean to tell me, Lord, that when I see somebody reprobate, if I despise them in their broken condition, you got a problem with me. You got a problem. But they reprobate, Lord. Yeah, you should grieve over the reprobate, not despise the reprobate. You should pray for the reprobate, not despise the reprobate. So the truth is, as I'm going through this text, some of us need to figure out, as I said at the onset, sin is a separator. And some of us, as I'm reading through Psalm 15, one of those psalms, and some of y'all don't want to read no more, but it's out here now, so you got to read it, that some of us are separated. You're separated because you don't walk in integrity. You haven't worked righteousness. You're not speaking truth in your heart. I felt it, but I didn't say it. That's not enough. You slander with your tongue. You do evil to your neighbor. You take up reproach against a friend because when they don't do what you want them to do, now you got a problem with them and you're going to talk about them to other people who are doing what you want to do. Oh. You despise the reprobates. But who honors those who fear the Lord? He swears to his own hurt and does not change. Verse 5, he does not put out his money at interest. We done got quiet in here. I'm talking about people who dwell and abide. You don't put out your money with interest. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Maybe if you're being shaken, you're doing some of these things. Hey, y'all. Why am I going? It's all right. I won't call nobody's names. Maybe if you're being shaken, you're doing some of these things and you're separated. And I would argue before I go to the next passage, you better thank Jesus for the blood. Because we get to reading about, I know y'all thinking this series as I've been going through, I'm only in verse 3 and Veronica told me to move on and I will do no such thing. But the reality is to this, that some of us, we've taken the blood for granted. It sounds too old school. We want all this modern stuff. We want to talk about portals and realms and dimensions, right? That's the deep stuff we want to talk about, portals and realms and dimensions. And you don't got the simple stuff right. Like, I'm a mess without Jesus. I need him. And listen, with sin, I'm separated. And the blood wants to bring me close. Now listen, this is where we are in this season, because at some point, yes, Lord, we're going to figure out we need an anchor. When stuff is going all crazy, when you got Elon Musk putting neural links in people's brains, we're going to need an anchor. Literally, they just put an AI chip in a man's brain yesterday. It just happened. First neural link patient just put the chip in the boy's brain yesterday, and they celebrate. At some point, we're going to need an anchor. And let me tell you what it ain't going to be. Portals and realms. It's going to be the blood of Jesus. And some of that stuff that some of these young folk that said is too old. Yeah, take me. See, listen, I've been saying it for a while. I'm going to say it right now. You got to go back to the future. Some of that stuff you walked away from, you done figured out. That work. That work is just like cast iron. It's just like they pulling cast iron skillets out of the shack that it was in since slavery and cleaning it off, and it's working. Some of this new school stuff talking about ionized, you know, all kind of foolishness going on and triple coated ionized foolishness. Next thing you know, that'll kill you. We don't know what we made out of that, but they pull that cast iron skillet out of the dirt, rinse it off a little bit, throw a little oil in it and grease it and be like, put some chicken in there. Be all right. That's all you need. So if you're not walking in integrity and you're not working righteous and you're not speaking truth in your heart, or if you're slandering with your tongue, if you're doing evil to your neighbor, if you're taking up reproach against your friend, if you despise the reprobate and you don't honor the people who fear the Lord, you will be shaken. I'll give you the verse that y'all like to quote. Psalm 24:3 reads this way. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, who has not lifted up his soul, your mind, will, emotions, intellect, and imagination. How do I lift up my soul to falsehood? By opening my gates to those things that we know are going to pull me away from God. So come on now. The Bible says it like this in the New Testament. You go on presenting your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Just putting yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Come on now. You know certain types of environments is just conducive for foolishness. The Bible says in verse 5, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So sin separates. And for some of us, Lord have mercy, we are separated. And here's the thing. The Lord set this up. Look at this love. He set it up where even though sin separates, you can make a payment and get reconnected. You can make a payment. There's sin has a bill. It creates a debt. Put Romans 6:23 on there. Look, watch. The wage of sin is death. That means that sin creates a debt. It requires payment. And your praise ain't gonna do it. Okay. Now you dance. Go ahead. That's not paying for sin. All this stuff we hearing, talking about God is looking for 5 people to give him a praise, and if you're praising, that thing gonna clear. No. Your praise don't clear your sin debt. Neither does your giving. You empty the account out, you'll still have a sin debt. The only way that sin can be paid for is death. But here's the truth. Our dying don't do it. So for all these people talking about, you know, I need the deep things of God. No, you need the blood of Jesus. The wage of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the gift. That's it. He wants to give it to you, but it exists in Jesus. It exists in Jesus. If you can't get to him, you can't get the gift. Does it make any sense to anybody? So sin requires payment, and that payment is death. But thank God you ain't got to die. Now your flesh got to be mortified. Now we gonna have to kill the flesh. Now and don't wound it. Take it smooth out of here. Don't you wound that joker. Some of y'all want to cage the flesh. Put the flesh up for a while. This is what I hear when people say, you know, I'm going to put my religion on the shelf. Put my religion on the shelf and tell you something, and I pick it back up again. I can't take it off like that. I can't take it off like that. So while in our text where we started, while they were used, the audience who's reading Hebrews, they're used to the shedding of blood. They're used to the blood of bulls and goats. But they're figuring out as they're reading this, they're like, now, wait a minute. He purified. And I'm sure no standard Jewish reader is like, how that work? Because what's different about your blood than any other blood? Now, look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. And this word, we actually don't use it in any other place but in the scriptures. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, leave this verse up for me. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Stay. I'm writing these things to you because people get so mad at me when I talk about that you can get free. Yeah. It ain't up there. They working on it. This is 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Just go in your own. This is why they working on that. I have had more clergy get upset with me about me preaching freedom than anything else. I get to talk about, you ain't got to keep doing that. They like, you can't tell people that they can be free from sin. Why can't I tell people they can be free? And look at what the Bible says. Oh, it ain't up there. I'm writing these things to you so you may not sin. That's literally, John is like, I don't want you to sin. Growing up, my dad used to always say, he used to make me so mad. My dad would be preaching and I'd be sitting up there and he'd just make me so mad because I wasn't right. I know all of y'all been right your whole life, but I wasn't right. And so he would say, you sin because you want to. I didn't like it. I didn't like that. But here's the thing. Sin is only a controller once you give it control. Okay. Sin is a controller once you've given it control. If you never give it control, it has none. Huh? Once you let that joker in, it's on and popping. He says, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin, period. And if anyone sins, now if you mess around and do some sinning, we have an advocate. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Right? If you do not have an attorney, one can be appointed for you. Huh? In other words, if you mess up, you already got a court-appointed attorney. You already, his name is Jesus Christ, the righteous. You have an advocate with the Father, because the Father is the judge. Jesus is your attorney. His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous, because you're not. Because you're not. Yeah, if that blood come off, you in trouble. Now look at this. If anyone sins, that's us. Now here's the part that I think is going to be a little sticky before I go to verse 2. If anyone, including the people you don't like, they get access to the court-appointed attorney too. The same one you got when you mess up. Because some of us don't want people to get forgiven. Because we feel like they deserve it. Right? That's how we feel. Come on, if you don't get honest, you can't get free. Huh? After what they did to you? After what they said to you? After how they treated you? Come on now. Y'all act like y'all ain't never prayed no sick'em God prayers. Get them, God. Get them good, Jesus. And here it is, you telling God to get them, and he's going to do exactly what you say. Go get them and get them right. If they want to be, come on now. Here comes the Lord, Jesus Christ the righteous. And the same access to forgiveness that you have, he like, come here. Now watch this. Now you're going to stay in the pit because now you're bitter about them walking out of it. Sin is a separator, even if you feel justified. Right. Even if you feel like, well, what you want me to do? What am I supposed to do? Be saved. Act like a Christian. That's what you're supposed to do. Verse 2. This is what I'm trying to get to. He himself, Lord have mercy, is the propitiation, there's the word, for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. He is the propitiation. Leave this verse up. He himself, not you, not your friend, not the pastor, nobody. This is where some of our other liturgical brothers and sisters get in trouble because they act like they have other propitiators. Can't nobody stand in the gap for you. Huh? Well, I thought that's what intercession is. There's only one intercessor. The only intercessor there is the Holy Spirit. When you intercede, you are entering into a session with the Holy Spirit on the behalf of another. You're coming into alignment with what God wants. You're not the one standing in the gap, because who are you? Who am I to say? My righteousness is filthy rags. What you want me standing in the gap for? I'm going to enter into a session with the one who stands in the gap. He is the prepared. See, the more we understand this, somebody needs to deflate some ego. You are not all that. Huh? I went up in the heavenlies and I stood in between and I fought off the devil for your, come on. Y'all wait till we get to the end of chapter 1 of Hebrews and you'll find out that you ain't got to go up in the heavenlies and fight on nobody's behalf. Watch this. You have ministering spirits assigned to the saved. Literally, the angels are assigned to people who are born again. So what you fighting for? What am I fighting for when I got angels assigned to me? I'm going to rest. He's our propitiation. He himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Propitiation, write it in your notes. We're going to work this word a little bit. Propitiation. Hilasmos in the Greek. Propitiation. Here's a synonym for propitiation. Satisfaction. The wage of sin is what? Come on, the wage of sin is what? He himself is the death of our sin. Whoa, that felt right. He's the wage. He paid. He's the satisfaction. He satisfied the debt. The death that was necessary, he's it. I know, thank you, Jesus. The Father was like, something got to die for this. Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll die for this. Even though they don't love me. Even though they're going to act like I didn't do nothing for them. Even though they're going to treat me like trash, I'll still die for them. Even though they're going to give everyone credit but Jesus, I'll still die for them. Oh, I'll die for stuff they ain't even done yet. That's good news, isn't it? Hilasmos. He is the satisfaction for our sins. In the New Testament, let me read this to you. We find man incapable of offering anything to placate God. They bring in all this stuff. They're like, how about this? He's like, that ain't satisfying nothing. Right, that's cute. Hey, can't find it. Have you ever stood there? Maybe it's just me and my son. Have you ever stood there and you've been hungry and you open up the refrigerator? This might just be a guy thing. You open up the refrigerator and you can't find nothing. And so that ain't gonna do it. And before you know it, you done snacked on everything and you still ain't found nothing yet. Is that just me? That's not. Okay, so here's the thing. People are throwing all manner of things at God and nothing can placate him. Not another conference gonna do it. It's not gonna placate God. You can have the higher realms conference. He's like, yeah. Until it's about Jesus, I'm not interested. The only thing that is the propitiation of sins is Jesus. Care how well you can sing. Where's Jesus? Huh? I don't care who you bring into your event. Where's Jesus? Because see, we've now come into a day and age, help me. We've come into a day and age where we invite celebrities and don't care whether or not Jesus comes. Huh? Look at who coming to our soiree. Look who coming. Look who coming. Look what we doing. We need to start asking the question, is Jesus going to be there? I see everybody on your flyer. But not sure that Jesus is going to show up to hear any of them. This is true. It's true of our morning worship services. True of our little programs. My grandmother would say programs. That's my grandmother used to say. It's true of our programs. Lord's like, no, oh, that's nice. You little fog machine. That's nice. I don't want to be there. I don't need fog. I don't need a man-made atmosphere. I don't need you to make me an atmosphere. Huh? I am the atmosphere. It's like I remember I was preaching actually at Chris's dad's church. I remember I was preaching way back in the day when Orlando had real long hair. Let me point to him. So way back in the day. I was preaching over at the church and they had me doing a multi-day, something I was doing over there. And it was a guest on the keys and he's playing and the service was good and the young people was coming to the altar. And he says, can I make you a river? I'm like, what are you talking about? I just want to come with you and make you a river. I don't need a river. Don't play. Jeez, I don't even know what you're saying right now. We just do stuff. We just do stuff. Y'all, we making stuff up. But what happens is we're trying to placate God because we know We know he has a demand. So we do all of this stuff to placate him. That's why you got to sing songs for 45 days. Because we're trying to placate God. It don't take all day. It's not that I have no problem, but some of this stuff we're doing is manufactured. You manufactured it. You tried to make it up. Because listen, you can be emotional and still not free. He's the righteous God. Remember, in Exodus 30, I believe verse 30, it says, consecrate Aaron and his sons that they may minister unto me. So when we come into church, y'all, the question is not, do I feel good? Lord, what you feeling? Because this is about him. But here's the issue. We have created performance theater in the church, which means the people in the pew don't come to worship. They come to be entertained. And so they hope that they can see somebody on the stage worshiping in front of them, like the court jester. And then my peers actually come and they expect to entertain you, because now we've turned it into a money-making venture where if I entertain you real good, you can give me more money. It's demonic. And Jesus is like, wait a minute. Everybody should come together in the house to worship me. It's not spectator sport. Got time to be looking around, wondering who worshiping. What are you here for? So this is what's happening in the book of Hebrews, where it says he purified. He did it. So if you're the only one who can purify, I need you. I don't want nothing else. He's righteous. And for him to accept a sinful man like us, a separated man like us, it was necessary for God, not man, to do something to deliver man from his sin. Did y'all hear that? It's necessary for God. God was like, all right, I want my people. And they can't do nothing to placate me. So let me do something to give them access to me again. Because they're not going to do nothing. Oh, y'all want Bible for that. For God so loved. He gave his only. Because by giving of himself is the only way to get us back in relationship with him. Because we weren't going to do right. Huh? I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you'll learn. Maybe sometime by the end of the year, by the time I get there, if I make it. Without the shedding of blood, this is still in Hebrews chapter 9, there's no remission of sins. This is the reason why we see Christ presented as the righteous one, not a righteous one. God demands that the payment for our sin be made once and for all. It's Christ himself, therefore, who becomes the satisfaction. It means that he and he alone is acceptable to God. He satisfies as the righteous judge. He is the one who brings justice, not us. This does not merely appease God, watch this, but it provides the means for redemption. God is like, I'm now satisfied and I'm giving you access. I'm satisfied and you get access. It doesn't merely appease. It provides the means of redemption. Christ, not us, is the propitiation. It supplies. Jesus, not us, supplies the method of deliverance from our sin. Jesus, not us. That's why you got to get careful with all these people giving themselves labels. I'm a deliverance minister. Jesus, not us, is the deliverer. I believe in deliverance, but be careful. I'm a deliverance minister. You're not propitiation. You don't satisfy the requirement, super spooky deep guy. You do not. You don't satisfy the requirement. I don't care what you wear or what title you give yourself. The only one who is able to do what nobody else can do is Jesus. For some of us, we've made ourselves too high. You need to call yourself brother again and sister. You want the title, but you can't get low enough for Jesus to be exalted. the one, not us. We create all of this stuff and we leave Jesus out. And if you can't put Jesus first in your vestments, leave him off. Wear a sweatsuit. We don't need no more dress up when Jesus is not first. Come on in this room. He's the one. Christ is the propitiation. He supplies deliverance. He's the one that reconciles us to God. We are acceptable for fellowship with God because of Jesus. Christ, not us, became the vicarious sacrifice for our sins. He stood in. He's like, you messed up. I'll take it. He took the L for you. He didn't even do nothing. He was in all points tempted yet without sin. But that's not our testimony. Sometimes we were the tempter. You wasn't always tempted. Some of us in this room was doing the tempting. Look at me in that tone of voice. You weren't always the pursued. Sometimes you were the pursuer. Amen. You weren't always the victim. Sometimes you were the aggressor. Amen. It kills me how we've been in Jesus 10 seconds and we forgot how long we was out of him. I mean, thank God for Jesus. When we get to thinking about Jesus, you ought to have a fit for real. Hold on now. You get to thinking about Jesus and thinking about all the stuff you've done, the stank that's still on you. Come on now. My good friend, Bishop Daryl Dion Woodson, he'll always say, wait a minute, you got that stank on you. I love him. Some of us still got it on you. You still smell like what you've been through. Because you haven't been under the fountain. Amen. John, in our text, adds that this sacrifice of Christ is a historical event, but he don't need to keep doing it. Christ does not need to shed his blood and die again and again for new believers because he did it for everybody. Nobody's sins have ever been permanently removed in any other way except by means of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the next 10 people who give $25, God is saying it's all over. No! That's not the way this works. It's not the way any of this works. Jesus. Well, Bishop, it got to be more than that. Accept him first, then you can get to the more. We always want to, you know, I would love a class on the depths of God. You don't have the simplest stuff. Come on, you want to jump in the deep end. You don't love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, here's the thing. Oh, God, I got 15 minutes. Here's the thing. Oh, thank you, Lord. You can try another way, but it ain't going to work. Now, I'm here to tell you, to some of you in this room, you done tried another way. Amen. You done tried another way a bunch of times. Come on in this here room. You done tried another way a lot. Huh? You done had more grace for sin than you've had for righteousness. Huh? Maybe it didn't work with him. It'll work with him. And maybe not him, but how about him? And maybe not her, but how about her? Huh? You done tried 10 hymns that didn't know Jesus. 14 hers that didn't know the Lord. Huh? I tried the light-skinned one first. I'm going to try a dark-skinned one this time. I tried the tall one that time. Let's try a short one. See if that's going to work out for me. Huh? The last two both had Bibles, but neither one of them read them. Because we're looking for functional saviors. Think about the term, y'all. Functional saviors. You're looking for immediate Jesus. Instead of accepting the Jesus that's already available. Y'all, come on. This is my problem. What can I get that's going to help that? This is my issue. What am I going to get that's going to help that? I need money. What's my functional savior for money? I want companionship. What's my functional savior for companionship? I want a vacation. What's my functional savior for a vacation? Whether or not that means debt, illicit relationship, loans, whatever it is, we look for the functional savior until they drop us. Then we got to look for the authentic, because those functional things don't have warranty. When they break, they broke. They one use. You can try another way. It's not gonna work. And for those of you who are willing to be honest in here, you gotta be honest. Lord, I tried another way. My bad. My bad, Lord. I tried another way. It didn't work. Hebrews 10, put it up. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. And some of you try another way because the other way, the door to the other way is wider than the narrow one. That's why you keep trying these other ways, because the door is wide. The barrier of entry is simple. Some of y'all can make a phone call tonight and be in trouble in a few minutes.
That's right.
Uh-huh. You can be in trouble in a few minutes. Huh? You know exactly who you can call. That's all right. That's all right. Here's verse 1. I know. Let that thing settle. Let that thing settle over there. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never. It can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Wait a minute. It can never do it. Even if it's shedding blood, it ain't this type of blood.
Right.
Huh? Which means, watch this, you can find something that look like it, but ain't it. Huh? There are always going to be imposters. You can go to the hair store and get you a Louis Vuitton. It got all the LVs on it, but some of them LVs is turned the wrong way. It's a Louis Vuitton. It ain't a Louis Vuitton. It's a Louis Vuitton. It ain't a Louis. It's a Louis. Huh? Right. It's not a Chanel. It's a Blanel. It's not a Coach. It's a brooch. You know? It's not right. Now, here's the thing. Verse 2. Otherwise, watch this, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have consciousness with sins. In other words, he says, look, if what they was doing would work, we would keep doing it. And if the sacrifice actually did something, once they did it, the sins would leave. Huh? I remember my dad saying one time, he was talking about how he used to drink heavy. And if my dad was here, he'd tell his own testimony, but I've heard it so I can tell it. And when he listens to it, he's going to laugh. My dad would tell me, he said, son, I used to drink a fifth of liquor on my way to go drink. He said, on my way to go drink, I drink a fifth on the way. Huh? That's a lot of drinking. That's a lot of drinking. But then my father said once God got a hold to him, he lost his taste. He lost the taste for it. Okay, and so what the scripture is saying there is if what they were doing worked, then what the high priest was doing would have taken the taste of sin away. But it didn't. They still had the same heart. The high priest was going in once a year making sacrifice, and God was being temporarily appeased, but the people weren't transforming because that blood didn't have any access to their heart. It couldn't do what the blood of Jesus can do. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins year by year. Some of you can be reminded and still not change. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Now, I don't know how much clearer we can get. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. I can make it better than that. It is impossible for anything that we're doing outside of Jesus to take away sins. Jesus is the only thing you got. So stop trying all that other stuff. It don't work. Therefore, when he comes into the world, verse 5, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you've prepared for me. He said, I don't want to see another bull and a goat. I need a body. Verse 6, in whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you've taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Now, that's talking about Jesus. He says, you want a body? Here I am. I'm about to do it. I'm the body. I'm about to die for him. I'm about to die for a stiff-necked people, a rebellious people. I'm going to die for them. I'm going to die for a people who don't believe in me, who don't honor me. I'm going to die for them. Because one day, when they start believing in me and start honoring me, the blood that I already shed will then, they don't love me now, but one day. They don't act right now, but one day, just in case they ever do, I'm going to put something back in their name for them to have access to. What a mighty God we serve. They acting a fool now, but when they're old, let's see if they come back to me. After saying the above, verse 8, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I've come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. Verse 10, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is good news. He don't have to die again. He's already done it. Every priest, verse 11, stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down. Ooh, that's good to me. He sat down at the right hand of God. He said, I'm good now. Waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made his footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. That is good news. One offering he perfected for all time. Why in the world would y'all want anything else? Why would you try anything else? Okay, listen. Enemies are under the foot of the one sitting down. And they don't get under your feet till you become a part of his body. This is the reality. I can do all of that. I can just serve the Lord by myself. Then now you're not a part of his body. If you never get to be a part of the body, then is he really your head? Because he's head of the body. He's not head of the individual. Y'all missed that. He's head of the body. So I got to bring my individuality and become a part of a body. But some of us got too much ego to realize you're not the whole body. Right? I know we got messed up with this whole teaching. We're going around telling everybody, you're the church. We messed people up with that. Because the word church, ecclesia, is plural. It's plural. None of us can be the church by ourselves. We as a collective make up the church. I, by myself, am just a member of the body. I cannot be the church. It don't work like that. Well, I just don't want to be bothered with people. You're people. You're people. These folk ain't living right. This was you. Paul said it like this, and you were one of them. And we just read in Psalm 15, I dare you, turn your nose up at the reprobate. How can Jesus be married to the backslider, but you won't even talk to him? He's married to the backslider. So wait a minute. If the one you say you love is married to the backslider, but you don't want to talk to him, then we got a problem here. We got a problem here. So I'll end with this passage, and I read it on Sunday, but I'm just going to read it. Put 1 John chapter 1. I'll end with this. Read 5 verses. I'm done. This is the message we've heard from him and announced to you. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie. Do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us. That's the one another. From how much sin? All sin. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. Truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful, righteous, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I just need us to be mindful that we need him. Oh, man, listen, you can try something else if you want to. That's the knockoff. You better get the real deal, Holyfield. Father, I thank you and I honor you. I give you praise. You're good, kind, and merciful. As we leave this place, God, help us lay aside every fake Christ. Let us crush them like Dagon. God, we remove all of those idols from the high places that we have exalted them, that you and you alone may be at the highest place of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Bless y'all.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.